turn with me, if you would, this morning for a short time to that second portion of God's Word that we read together in 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. And we wish to take as our text this morning verse 17. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Yesterday, many of you, I'm sure, along with millions of other people, not only in this country, but in America and all throughout the world, watched the funeral service of the late Prince Philip, the consort of Her Majesty the Queen. The service was broadcast live to many countries. And we want today to look at somewhat of the funeral service yesterday to take up this theme, because the Bible always has something to say with regards to whatever subject you want to, you especially when someone has been described by one person as the grandfather of our nation, when he passes away, then the Bible has something to say about that. And the very first thing that we would, as a congregation, say, because we are in a unique position here, because not only was Prince Philip the consort of Her Majesty the Queen, our Queen, and the family itself is a private family, just, and I'm sure you will understand when I say, just like any other family, they will grieve. The Queen has lost her husband of 73 years. She's grieving today the loss of a husband. Charles and the Princess Royal, Anne, Andrew and Edward, are mourning the loss of a father. Grandchildren are mourning today, and great-grandchildren today mourn just the same as any other family. They are mourning the loss of someone in their family. But while it is a private family, it's a family that very much belongs to the nation, because this is the royal family. And there is a unique position in which the family, although a private family and seeking to mourn in a private way, yet they are the royal family. They are our royal family. The Queen is our Queen. And so on. And it's not just that we're in a unique position here in terms of Prince Philip being the consort of our Queen, but we in fact are unique in that he is our Duke. He was the Duke of Edinburgh. And as a congregation in Edinburgh, we're in a unique position to be able to comment something on the Duke of Edinburgh's passing and his funeral. And the very first thing that we would obviously as a congregation wish to do, and that is to send our condolences to Her Majesty the Queen and to the royal household. The Bible has something to say with regards to the death of anyone, but it also has something to say about the death of someone who is royal. Our text today takes us to that very aspect. David and Saul. Saul, the death of Saul, and David has something to say about the death of Saul. And there are three things that we really want to look at this morning. And the first is, Saul was the Lord's anointed. Saul was the Lord's anointed. Think of Saul, who was the enemy of David all these years. And yet David recognized that Saul was the Lord's anointed. Think of even how he himself could have slain Saul at one point, and he didn't do so, because Saul was the Lord's anointed. And even when the Amalekite came and told David about the death of Saul, the Amalekite himself was put to death because he dared to raise a sword against the Lord's anointed. We remember today that Her Majesty the Queen is the Lord's anointed. She is the Queen of our nation because the Lord has raised her up for that position. It's sad, you see, sometimes to see politicians and political parties trying to make political gain and political points out of the death of Prince Philip, the Queen's husband. We must remember that David himself, even though Saul was his enemy, yet he lamented the death of Saul. He wrote this poem, this song here, at the death of Saul. And we today lament the death of Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. The Lord raises up people to high places. Paul says when he writes to the Romans, he says, to the Romans, he says that all the powers that be are ordained of God. But he goes further than saying that he shows that we should show respect to the royal household. As Paul even tells us to go further than that. When Paul writes to the young minister Timothy, Nero was the Caesar at the time. Nero was in authority in Rome. You would have thought that Paul would have written to Timothy and said, we wish that Nero would be put to death. We wish that someone would take a sword and put Nero, this evil man, to death. The very opposite. Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. He goes on specifically to say for kings and for all that are in authority. In verse 4, he says, because God would have all men to be saved. Someone might be saying here, well, God will only save poor people. God will only save those who are really poor and who are. My friend, the Lord will save even those in authority. And rather than Paul saying, I pray that Nero would be cast down, he says, I pray that prayers, supplications, intercessions, and thanks be made for all in authority, because God will save even kings. God will save even those in authority. What do we pray for today for Her Majesty the Queen? What do we pray for the next in line to the throne, Prince Charles, and the Princess Royal, Andrew and Edward, the children of Her Majesty the Queen? What do we pray for Prince Philip's grandchildren and his great-grandchildren? My friend, we pray that they would be saved. We pray that salvation's blessings would be their portion and that they would be greatly blessed through the preaching of the gospel. I heard yesterday something that I'd heard actually before. A number of years ago, I heard about Prince Philip, and that was that Prince Philip himself would often leave his home and go down to a church and listen to the preaching on his own. He would go into a church and he would sit there and he would listen. And someone said yesterday, it was as though he was searching for something. My friend, we pray that he found the great pearl of great price. I don't know whether he did, whether he didn't. I can't tell you the heart of any man. Some people even said, she said that even Prince Charles seems to be searching for something. My friend, if somebody's searching for something, and you know they're searching for something, and you know what that thing is, would you not say to that person, listen, you're searching for it. Here it is. This is what you really need to find. Here it is. We pray that there would be some at least who would have directed Prince Philip, and who will direct Her Majesty the Queen, who will direct Prince Charles in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of saving grace. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. We hear of how Prince Philip gave up everything, his career, and he vowed allegiance to Her Majesty the Queen. We pray that he vowed similar allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. We look for the day when those who are in the royal household would come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we would say, I give up everything in allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Is that your prayer for the royal household? Is that our prayer today, that the royal household would come and not just bow the knee to the throne in Britain, to Her Majesty the Queen, but that Her Majesty the Queen and the whole of the royal household would come to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. My friend, if that's what we pray for Her Majesty and the royal household, do you pray that for yourself? Do you pray that for your own household? Do you pray that for your children and your children's children? Do you pray that for all whom you love, that they would come to find the great pearl of great price, even Jesus Christ the Lord? Whatever Prince Philip was searching for, when he would leave and go on his own and sit in a church and listen to what was being said, woe betide those who themselves didn't know the way of salvation. Woe betide those who didn't point him in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will have even greater things to answer for. There is a higher throne. Saul was ordained, anointed of God. But the second thing is, we notice here a eulogy. If we notice, first of all, the Lord's anointed Saul, we notice that David gave a eulogy regarding Saul. One of the great encouragements, surely, of the funeral yesterday was that it was a Christian funeral. And one of the things that you notice was that the Bible was read, because one of the Psalms was read. Jesus coming to the grave of Lazarus, that was read in John's Gospel, chapter 11. Whatever Martha thought when Jesus came, she never imagined that he would raise Lazarus, that had now been in the grave for 4 days. She never imagined that that's what he would do. It's like the woman, it struck me yesterday when it was being read, it struck me of the woman at the well who came with her water pots to the well. She never imagined that day that she would meet a person who would completely change her life. She never imagined that. Martha never imagined that Lazarus would be raised from the dead. And you know, when I heard I didn't listen to all the funeral, but when I heard the scriptures being read, I thought to myself, perhaps there will be somebody listening to this today who would never imagine that in listening to this funeral, they would meet a person who would completely change their lives, the Lord Jesus Christ. That they would be born again, that they would be raised just out of death the way Lazarus himself was raised out of death, and they would come to realize. What struck me was when it says, I am the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this? She said, I believe that he will raise the dead at the end of the day. I am the Messiah. I am the one that is able to raise Lazarus from the dead. That was good, wasn't it? We heard the Bible being read. The account of Jesus coming to the grave of Lazarus. But yet there was so much said about Prince Philip himself. There was so much that was said in the funeral with regards to him personally. And you know, later on, if you ever listen to the TV or recounting it later on, they never once referred to the Bible. They never once referred to Martha, to the Lord Jesus Christ. They always referred simply to what was said about Philip. Isn't that sad? The Lord Jesus Christ presented at the funeral, the Lord Jesus Christ raising Lazarus from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And yet, the godless media home in simply on what is said about Philip. And you know, is that not often what happens at funerals? Where big eulogies are given and where much is said about the person that's gone, and you may throw a bit about the gospel in there, but at the end of the day, people come out and all they do is speak about the person who's dead. Let us see David here. David here records about Saul. He gives a eulogy about Saul, but that eulogy is never used in the worship of God. In fact, we are told here in verse 18 that it's in the book of Jasher. The book of Jasher, most people believe, is simply a public record. In the whole of the eulogy that David gives, he doesn't even mention God. You notice that? God's not mentioned in it. This is not a eulogy that is given at Saul's funeral. Saul is later buried by the men of Jabesh Gilead. In fact, very often when you go through the scriptures, the most eminent of men, all that is said of is that they died and they were buried. That's all that was said. Moses is taken up into a mountain, and all it said of him was, God buried him. You don't get eulogies at funerals in the Bible. Even some of the most eminent of men pass out of this world and nothing is said about them. And there are two things that David praises Saul for. First is what he has done for God's people. You see, it's as though David here passes over all the bad faults of Saul. David could have repeated all the bad things that Saul did. He didn't do that. But what he does record is where Saul lives up to the duty that God gave to him. Look at how he says in verse 24, ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put ornaments of gold upon your apparel. Think of what Saul had done and how he had defeated the enemies of God's cause. All the things that Saul did on behalf of God's people and on behalf of the nation. My friend, there's nothing wrong, indeed, with recalling what men in places of authority do and have done for the nation. But the worship of God is not the place for it. The worship of God is not the place for it. The second thing is his relationship to Jonathan, one of God's people. Even in his death, he says the relationship that he had with Jonathan was lovely. And even the relationship that prevailed even unto their death. O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high place. And earlier on he says, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. The relationship that Saul had with Jonathan. My friend, there's nothing wrong with any of that. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But surely what we would want our nation to take from any funeral is not a prince, a princess, a queen, a royal household. Surely what we want today our nation to take and to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who alone is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. And there's a third thing that we notice here, and that is a lamentation. One of the things yesterday that struck me just looking at the funeral was how solemn it was, wasn't it? It was good to see how solemn the funeral was. I've been to funerals and you wouldn't think that there was, you would almost think that it was, there was nobody had died. It was, you know, here you have a solemnity. Even as the remains are taken into the building, there's a minute's silence. Isn't that good? A minute's silence. Why is it good? Because it gives the nation time to think and to contemplate death. When you have the death of someone who has been referred to as almost the grandfather of our nation, 99 years of age, and he dies, my friend, does that not bring our nation to think upon death? That it doesn't matter who you are. You can be a prince. You can be the consort to the queen. You can be the queen herself. You can be a king. Death will come. And it is no respecter of persons. Death doesn't respect a duke. Death doesn't respect a prince. Death doesn't respect royalty. Death comes, and it will take rich and poor. It will take the common man, it will take the royal man. Death will come. And David lamented. It was a lamentation. It was like a mourning David had over the death of Saul and of Jonathan. It was like mourning. We today don't want to mourn, do we? We want to clap. We want to look back and think upon the achievements. We want to be rejoicing, my friend. We need once again, as a nation, to contemplate death in mourning over death. John Calvin says that when you come to death, we mourn because there you contemplate your latter end. You contemplate the end. Surely we would contemplate today. Where will we spend eternity? Because it doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how much power you have. At the end of the day, it's all taken from you. You can be a prince. You can own and live in palaces. You can have wealth. You can have power. But when death comes, it removes it all. You come into this world with nothing, and you will leave this world with nothing. You may have many riches in between. You may have many honours and titles in between. When death comes, they are all removed. And you leave this world with nothing. Unless you leave this world with the greatest treasure of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that Her Majesty the Queen will contemplate not just the loss of her husband, but contemplate that she too will leave this world. That Prince Charles, who may become the next king, that he too would contemplate that he will leave this world. Indeed, all the royal family that's here today, one day will be gone, and the place that knew them will know them no more, just as it has known Prince Philip, and it knows him no more. And at that time, it's a soul that leaves this world and it leaves everything behind. Think of Saul and the death of Saul. The death of Saul would have some influence, especially over the Philistines. Because if the Philistines had heard that Saul was dead, think of that, how they would rejoice over that. How that would encourage the enemies of God's people, the death of Saul. David says, let it not be known in Gath. Let it not be known or trumpeted in Ashkelon. Don't let it be known. Because this will be great danger to the throne and to God's people. But my friend, think of another death. Think of another death. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's to be published everywhere. He says, tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Here is a death that wasn't to be published. My friend, there is a death today. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has to be published. It is to be published in all the corners of the world. It is to be trumpeted to the far ends of the earth, because herein is the victory over death and the grave. You won't have triumph over death and the grave because you're royal or because you're this, that and the other. The only triumph that you have over death and the grave is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's to be published in Gath. That's to be trumpeted in Ashkelon. That's to be remembered by the Lord's people. Do this in remembrance of me. We hope and pray that come November, we will have the Lord's Supper once again. There's a minister already booked for that weekend. We hope and pray that that weekend we will be able to have the Lord's. And what do we do at the Lord's Supper? We remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the victory that God's people have. The ultimate victory over death and the grave. Oh, we pray that Prince Philip was ready to meet his Maker. We pray that her Majesty the Queen is ready to meet her Maker. We pray that the royal household, that they would come to know their Maker and be ready to meet with him. But what we pray for the royal household, we pray for you and every one of us in here today, that we would all be ready. Because the day will come when we will all depart this scene of time. There is a unique death. People will come, people will go. There have been many, many, many people in this country that have died even this day. And nobody will know it. I don't know it. You don't know them. People up and down the length and breadth of this land in the last week, how many have died and left and gone into eternity? I don't know. Because I don't know them. But we do know one death that took place 2,000 years ago. Martha saw him. And Martha says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection. And Jesus says, but I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe and trust in me shall never die, but shall rise again. And he came to the grave. And he said in that grave, to that grave, to the empty, to roll away the stone. And his voice, Lazarus, come forth out of that grave. And he rose. It was a sign that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the resurrection and the life. Lazarus would go back to the grave. Lazarus' body is lying somewhere over in Israel, outside Jerusalem. Lazarus and Martha and Mary, their bodies are lying somewhere there. The one unique thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he rose never to go back to the grave again. He has the victory over death and the grave. And one day the graves will be opened. And those that are in Christ, they shall rise and they shall see him. They shall meet him in the air. Loved ones that you have lost, perhaps. Loved ones that you have known in this world. Parents, loved ones. And you've lost them. Grandparents, perhaps. And you can remember them in this world. And they've been godly people, perhaps. They've been people in the Lord. My friend, the graves will open up. And they will one day meet the Lord in the air. David had lamentation. He mourned. It is good that we mourn. But for the Christian, we do not mourn as the world mourns. We don't just clap our hands and act on as though that's the end of it all. We mourn, but we mourn as those who have a glorious hope. It is the hope of glory, Christ in you. May it be that the royal family, our royal family, would know something of that glorious hope that is to be found in the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord,